Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. You're in the right place. Sister Debbie has invited all of you down for dinner as soon as the service is over this morning, and she thanks you for being in attendance this morning for this, to honor Pastor Gill and to say thank you. This morning we're going to share a message. We're going to be brief. It's called Special Assignment. We're going to get right into this. Worship was amazing. We're going to begin with Jeremiah 20, 9 and 11, for I know the plans I have for you. This never says I know the plans I have for your church, your neighbors. It says for you. This is a very personal message from God, because here's the reason. God created each of us with a divine destiny, assigned us. We are here on special assignment. The title of the message is Special Assignment. And, you know, I've had people say, well, how we're going to talk today about what it is and who is your assignment and what is your assignment. And sometimes you don't know what is your assignment or who is, but God will help you out with that because he knows the plans he has for you. But I had someone tell me and ask me when I was doing this, preparing this message, how will I know when I've completed my assignment? And I felt like I had an answer for that. When you are upstairs in heaven and you walk through the pearly gates, you're done. You're finished. That's how you know that you've completed your assignment. It's pretty simple. But when we are saved and when God brings us into his kingdom like Esther, who knows but what you're here for this time, God knows. I want to tell you, we are called to be a servant of God, to serve God. I want to tell you, everyone can't be a Miss America, a big name. Everybody can't be a movie star. But everyone and anyone can be a servant of God, each of us. And I'm going to quickly, as Pastor Ken's preparing here, tell you a story that you probably heard from years ago. There was a young girl named Jessica who was in the Army because she could not afford to go to college. She was from Fort Bliss, Texas. She was an Army supply clerk who suddenly got deployed to Iraq. And on March 23rd, some of you know this already, 2003, the convoy that she was riding in took a wrong turn. They were ambushed, and 11 of her fellow soldiers died that day. Others were captured. She was one of three by the enemy. She was taken to an Iraqi hospital, and on April 1st, 2003, some people on special assignment, the special forces, the Navy SEALs, entered that Iraqi hospital, risked their lives, and they brought her out and 8 more bodies home with them. Thank God for people who are willing to take the special assignment. Are you willing to take the assignment that God has given you? Now, here's the thing I want to tell you about. If you're looking for your name in lights, that's not your assignment. Let's put that, you know, I wanted to be a ballerina and a star, and it's just not going to happen. It's not. It's over. It's done. But I am on special assignment for God. And we don't know the name of not one of those men or women who are Navy SEALs who rescued Jessica on that day. They did not do it for fame. They did not do it for honor and for glory. They did it out of love and compassion. We don't know their names, but they do, and God does. They marched into enemy territory and brought out someone who was broken, and that is exactly what your assignment is. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart, considering what great things he has done for you." One last thing. Every one of the radios and CNN and all the news hailed Jessica a war hero. Let me tell you what she said. "I am no hero. I was captured by soldiers." Let me tell you who the heroes are. the men who risked their lives, who came and got me. And let's say it like this. Jesus rescued us, and it becomes our responsibility to go behind enemy lines and to rescue others. That's what we're called to do.
Amen. So Jesus was the ultimate special assignment, because we're the Jessicas of the world. We're the ones that needed to be rescued, and Jesus risked everything to come to earth and rescue you. You know, as a former military member, you probably have heard this before, but there's SEAL Team 6, right? That's what the one you want to be on, not Meal Team 6. And as Christians, we want to be on the SEAL Team, not the Meal Team. When I was in the military, our saying was never refuse a combat mission. And what that means is when a door opens for you, you step through it. Now, that works as a Christian. Never refuse a mission that Jesus asks you. He gives you orders. I want you to do this. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to do that. And you know what? Your orders are not always where you want to go. They ask us to select where we wanted to go. And I checked Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii. Now, I signed up for the Air Force. I thought I would be going to Hawaii, but they put me in Oklahoma. It is so not Hawaii. It is so not Hawaii. But you know what? Where God wants you. And you might look at your assignment. I remember guys in the military complaining about their assignments. And, you know, sometimes you did get a cushy assignment. And sometimes it's like, I'm living in a tent and I'm eating meals ready to eat. Are you kidding me? But it is an honor to be called by God. It is an honor to be given an assignment, because there are so many people that need rescuing. There are so many people that are hurting. There are so many people that are lost. And unfortunately, it's hard to rescue someone when you yourself need to be rescued. In order to be the person that God created you to be, not only do we have to accept the assignment. Jonah didn't like his assignment. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Many of the disciples didn't like their assignments. But we have to do it because we do it unto the Lord. Jesus didn't even particularly, he was praying in the garden. Is there any way that this, but he had an assignment. He had a tough assignment. And he was willing to do that because of love in his heart. I've been thinking all this week, Pam, about judge yourself. Because, first of all, you don't want God to judge you. Not without the blood of Jesus, right? Because if you're getting judged without the blood of Jesus, we know his judgment will be harsh. So if we judge ourselves, though, I could stand up and tell you everything that's a sin, and I could judge you, but that's not going to work. I'm just a human being. All we can do is tell you what the Word of God says. But ultimately, if we judge ourselves, we're not going to be judged by God. And what do I mean by judging yourself? You know the person God has created you to be. And let me describe that person. You are gentle. You are kind. You are compassionate. You are giving. You are unselfish. You look for the hurts in others. You have empathy. You have sympathy. You have love for others. You know that. That's who you are. That's the ideal you, is patient and kind and loving. But the reality of you, sometimes when you look in the mirror, you see hardness of heart. You see hardness towards other people. And it's just living in the world that can cause those attitudes to be like, you know, well, the heck with everybody else but us, you know. If you don't have blue eyes, you're not in my club. If you don't have the same color of skin, if you don't believe the same way, the same social, we create all these divisions that Paul had to talk about. Some is of Paul, some is of Apollos, instead of saying that we are united under Jesus Christ. I'm imagining that story, Pam, that was that true story of Jessica. I remember seeing the photographs of them carrying her out on a stretcher and everything. She could not she could not save herself. And she was surrounded by the enemy. If today you feel that way, you feel like you are surrounded by the enemy and you can't save yourself, and that's the truth. We cannot pull ourselves. By the way, it's amazing to me that you hear the expression, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. people don't get it. They actually think that that's a thing. They say, you got to pull your... The whole idea of the saying is, if you're on the ground, can you pull yourself up by pulling on your own bootstraps? The point of the saying is that it doesn't work. You have to have someone else to take your hand. You can't pull yourself up out of a pit. But Jesus can. And we see God in Sodom and Gomorrah when he was destroying it. When this is the angel. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful. So we see that God was on their side. Now, if we're on assignment, if I'm on a military assignment, I always have a thing called orders. These are official orders, and it tells you what's expected of you. It tells you the equipment to bring. And Jesus came and spoke to them, all of us. This is Matthew 28. He's speaking to us. Jesus, give us our orders. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the world. So that is our assignment. Let me put it in a nutshell. Our assignment is to go into the world and represent Jesus Christ. Your assignment, wherever you go, whoever you talk to, whatever you say, however beautiful or ugly you are in your attitudes, you are representing the kingdom of God. You're representing the Lord Jesus. So when we are horrible to people and we have racist attitudes and we're prejudiced and we are saying that that's the way our God in heaven is, and that's why so many people want to reject religion, because we're not accurately representing love. The Good Samaritan represented love.
You know, I think it's so interesting in that verse. It says, go you, therefore. Yes. It's so personal. When we read the Word of God, he is talking to us. He's not talking to your neighbor, which you like to think that. When you read a verse that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, immediately your mind starts going in so-and-so and so-and-so. No, this is to you and I. This is a word to us. You know, one of the things in talking about can we fulfill our assignment? I just want to tell you about real quickly about King David. When they took everything, they took the women, they took everything, he went on a rescue mission. And guess how much he got back? He recovered all. Do you know that you can get everything back that the enemy thinks he took from you? He thought he took it away permanently, but he didn't. If it's still there, you can go into the enemy's camp and you can get it back. You can get it all back and then some. Many, many times they didn't just get it back, they got the spoil too. They took things from there too. And, you know, I want to tell you about us. I don't know what your exact assignment is, but I can tell you who your assignment is. Everybody take a quick glance at the person next to you. That's my assignment. Let me tell you who my assignment is. My assignment is Dave. My assignment is Sandra, it's Caleb, it's Grace, it's Ken, it's Willie, it's Yvonne, it's Jackie Pumphrey, it's Frida. And guess what? I'm your assignment too. We have to make sure all of us arrive safely home in one piece. And whatever it takes for you to get home, that's what I want to do. And the Bible says, go into all the world. Wherever it takes to get the Jessica Lynches out, that's where we got to go. We got to get a group together and go get them out. And, you know, we are ambassadors to the earth, and I like to look at us, Ken, as like Daniel. We're in modern-day Babylon. There's no doubt of that, but we are not of Babylon. That's our citizenship is in heaven. We're just here on assignment, as I said. We are in Babylon, but we cannot let Babylon get in us. We must do things that God tells us, not what the word, not the world. That's just what... And... So I asked myself, well, what is my assignment? Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, do the works that Jesus did, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. We are called to do for others what Christ has done for us. Do you know that we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus? my hands must represent the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. If Jesus would slap my brother with his nail-scarred hands, then go right ahead. Be free to do so. If Jesus would take his nail-scarred feet and kick someone, you're free to kick. Kick away. Kick them all. If he would use his mouth to speak out against them, then go right ahead. But you know better than that. We're the head, the feet, the hands, the eyes, the mouth of Jesus while we're here on this earth. And you may think, oh no, she's not right. Let me read it. I'll read it straight from the word. John 14:12. Verily, truly, I, Jesus, say unto you who are here today, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. You do know what Jesus did, right? Heal the sick, raise the dead. And they will do even more things than these because I am going to my Father. Does it get any clearer than this? I don't think so. I don't think so. But here's what happens, Ken. We begin to use excuses why we can't love them, why we can't love our mother, our father, our sisters, our brother, why we can't have fellowship with them. And sometimes I find that church folks, the religious leaders, the religious people are the worst of all. Here's the thing. Ken mentioned it. The Good Samaritan. Who passed him by? It wasn't the regular broken up hurting people. It was the religious. It was the priest of the day. Not only did they pass him by, they literally went out of their way not to help him. You know, what were their excuses? The Bible doesn't tell us. And God isn't going to say when we get to heaven, well done, thy good and faithful television watcher. Well done, thy good and favored little princess. He is going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Here's the thing. It was a Samaritan who came to this Jewish man broken on the road and took him and cared for him. And then he took him to an inn and he said to the innkeeper, I have to go now. Do those words sound familiar to you? I have to go now, but you take care of him. And when I come back, does that sound familiar to anybody? When I return, Jesus, I'm going to reward you, and I'll anything you spent, I'm going to reward you for. Who does the inn represent? The Church of Jesus Christ. God has sent them to us. He paid the price, gave them to us, and we are the ones that are responsible. So I don't think we can afford, Pastor Ken, to pass anybody by. I think we need to recognize that we are one another's assignments. We are here on assignments. We need to be watching all the time. Is someone hurting? Does someone need a little gift? Does someone need a hand up? You know, we don't push them down. We're supposed to lift them up.
Yeah, we play for Team Jesus, right? We know the team that we're on. When I was little, I thought that all baseball teams, like I thought that everyone on the Cubs was from Chicago. And the first time I heard that they were trading for some player and I knew this guy was from New York, I'm like, he can't play for the Cubs. He's from New York. That's not fair. I didn't understand. And the reason I'm saying that is you have some people in your life that are easy assignments and you have some very tough assignments, don't you? And you're immediately thinking of your tough assignments. If they're truly your assignments, though, guess what? You can't trade them. You know? God put that tough assignment. Yeah, but it's such a tough assignment. That's why God gave it to you. He trusted you with that tough assignment. The parable, wow, what a powerful parable. We ought to be reminded of that all the time. Because when you're looking at a satellite view of the earth, you don't see the divisions of the countries. You just see land. The divisions in the world are man-made. One is this, one is that. Oh, this person is a Samaritan. This person is a Jew. And so we have these divisions like, that's not my brother. That's not my sister. Though the Muslims aren't my brothers. Yes, they are. God so loved the world. And I have some, and every person here, you grew up in a household. Some of your households taught tolerance and love and taught, and some of your household, you might have been taught a certain amount of hatred. It might have been you got to watch out for those people or that group. But as an adult, you cannot carry the prejudices that don't belong in our life. We have to examine ourselves and grow and say, hey, even if my grandfather, which he wasn't, was racist, that doesn't mean I'm going to be racist. So we have to examine ourselves and look in the mirror to ask that question, who is my mirror? And I like what you said, Pam. When we put our mouth against someone in the body of Christ, you are attacking God's wife. Imagine you attack God's wife. God's wife. We're the body of Christ, and we need to put aside all prejudice. You know, there's a saying that everyone is for homeless shelters as long as they're not in my neighborhood. You know, we want people to be helped, but we don't want it right there. We are all the same, and I have come to the conclusion, and I keep telling myself over and over, that I am not better than any other person on this planet. I have no reason to brag that I'm younger, richer, better, I come from a better place. But for the grace of God, go you. You want to look at someone in some other country and say, well, you know, stupid immigrants? Let me tell you something. You could have been that immigrant. You know, do you think Jesus would, anyway, it's not a political thing anyway. How we treat people is not political. It's Christian. We just be a Christian, just act like a Christian. And that's the great thing is God hasn't called us to be superstars. He's just called us to help the hurting, not to be superstars, just to help the hurting.
You know, it really is true. Any of us, we are all each other's assignments. We have assignments, and it's not just one thing. Although we do have a destiny, we see every man and woman in the Bible that God used. There was a time when they had something very specific to do, and that will happen with you too. But daily, we have these little assignments, just like working a job. And I'm so thankful that God allows us. Do you know it is an honor to be chosen by God, that He said, I have chosen you, I have set you apart, that you should be called a prophet to the nations? Do you know what an honor it is, you know, to tell people, you know, no, I don't work for so-and-so. I don't work for Mr. Big. I work for God, who is the great, great, greatest of all. You know, and when talking about it, I want to tell you, you know, we say, you know, we don't want our name in lights. That's not what we're striving for. But I want to tell you, God does honor and He does reward those who serve Him. How many of us know who Agnes Bolcha was? Yeah, you do. Mother Teresa. Her name wasn't Mother Teresa. It was Agnes, okay? But here's the thing. She was mother to the people. She was a little nun, and for the greatest part of her life, she ministered to the poorest of poor on this entire earth in India of Calcutta, where people had no food, they were destitute, they were dying, and she too risked her life. And she went, and she didn't just send money, she just didn't go on one little mini mission trip. I'm just on a little mini mission trip, be back home in a week, folks. No, she went and she lived among them. She got to know them, she got to love them. It's a point of no return, people, when you get that involved in the kingdom work with Jesus. I'm going to read you a few quotes. I thought Sandra had the bullets up here, but something must have went awry, so I'm going to read them to you. Your true character is most accurately measured by how you treat those who can do nothing for you. Yeah. Mother Teresa. Agnes wrote that. You didn't know Agnes, did you? She wrote that. Here's another one Agnes wrote. Watch this. Not all of us can do great things, but all of us can do small things with great love. I always say this. People say, well, I haven't done anything great for God, Pastor Pam. And I tell them, any little thing you do is great. And no, it's not. Yes, it is, because you're doing it for a great God. It's great because He is great. It's not great because of the thing. It's great because you're doing it for someone that God would want you to do it for. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. Here's a quote by another man whose name was Mordecai, and you do remember him from the Bible. Esther 4:14, but who knows but that you, again, this is very personal, not your church, it's you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Do you know that you are here right now because God did not want you back then or ahead? He wants you right now. We are on Team J. we have been chosen to be here at this point in this time. And also something I want to tell you is, can God use just a few of us? There are people here today, but I want to tell you about a time when God used people, a few more than are here today. Gideon's army was a great example. And Gideon said, I'm the least, and I'm the least in my family. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nobody. I just can't do this. They started out with 32,000 men, and they ended up with 300 people, a little more than what we have here today. Let me tell you something. God can do great things with a few. He really can. We just need a few Joshuas, a few Calebs, a Ruth, an Esther, a David, an Agnes, a Frida, a Lilia, an Irma. That's all we need. People who are willing to say yes to God, and God, if you tell me to do it, I will do it. Again, I'm going to share my little mini story that I share frequently. It was the day I was in the restaurant. It was the day I was in the restaurant, so small, and I was hugging my daughter goodbye, and the Holy Spirit said, hug that waitress, and I was like, not going to do it. We ain't in church, folks. I am not going to do this. This is somebody I don't know. Went over there to hug her, and she said, and I quote, I was hoping you would. Her brother just went to prison. Come on now. Come on now. Did that take, that wasn't like I had to give her $10,000 to pay off her house, was it? It was so simple. And those are the things we have to do for one another. It just takes a little to serve God, but do it.
People just need to be accepted and they need to be loved. And the only way that can happen is if we, you know, you think, well, that's such an easy scripture to love others. That may be the hardest scripture. Because when the Bible says to love others, it doesn't mean to love those that love you. It means to love people that are difficult to love. And what it really means, but let me change that. It means to love people with a supernatural love. You say, how could I love someone who's persecuting me? It takes a supernatural love. The assignments that we get, Jonah got an assignment and basically said no. Even your story of Gideon is kind of interesting. Whenever God would send angels to give messages, they would always ask the angels for ID, which I always think is hilarious. And Gabriel's like, you want ID? His answer was this, I'm Gabriel. That's it. I mean, I'm Gabriel. It's kind of like Moses. It's like, well, who am I going to tell them you are? Really? Tell them I am. I am, which we're about to sing. We're going to sing in just a few minutes if the musicians want to come up because we're going to get ready for our dinner. We're going to sing, I am that I am. You ask God, who are you? He goes, I am. I just am. I'm everything. Now, listen to this because I'm closing this out here, and then Pam will have the last word. Jesus said, and this needs to be prophetic to you. It was prophetic to Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set them at liberty, them that are bruised. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me. Jesus recognized the call that was on his life. And guess what? The same call is on your life. When Brother Gil died, which I assume is Sister Debbie's probably downstairs, but when Brother Gil died, Sister Debbie gave me, and everybody in this church, everybody here knows Brother Gil, correct? I think everyone here knew Brother Gil. You knew that he was gentle. You knew that he had wisdom, right? Did you ever hear him yell at people? Wasn't he always encouraging? In your life, didn't he encourage you? Didn't he pray for you? He was such an example of Jesus Christ. And when he died, Debbie gave me, not the Bible, she did give me Gil's Bible. I got his Bible, which he underlined everything. So it's like it would have been better if he would have just, not anyway. So, which I loved it because he was spent so much time in his work. But I just want to tell you this one thing, and I'm giving it to Pam. She gave me a bag of his clothes that she didn't want to throw away, like some sweaters and some shirts and things like that. And I wear those quite a bit, his sweaters and things like that. And I, there's something spiritual about that, though. Elijah and Elisha. And when I always think that there's an anointing on this. I have to act like Jesus. I have to act like Gil. The Bible says to put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you wear his armor, you represent him in everything you do. So we need to strive to be just like Jesus.
We're going to close. We're going to pray and then and pray for the food also. And then they're going to do this song. And then you will immediately be dismissed downstairs. I want to say this in closing. I pray that every phone call you make, every person you speak to, every text you make, every letter you write will be so filled with love that people will want to hear more from you. Do you know that people know when you're talking, when you're catty, when you're unhappy, when you're snippy at them? And they feel that. They feel that when you don't, how are you doing? Great. You feel that. And you don't want to be around those people, do you? You need to be loving and kind. And if you're not, you need to repent. But I pray that God's going to use you in this way, that he's going to use your voice, your hands, your feet. And I want to say this in closing. Never speak words that are judgmental. You're not qualified to judge anyone. We have a higher calling. It's a calling to love one another. And if your hands and feet, if your hands are busy washing feet, it's likely you won't have time to throw stones, isn't it? Father, we just thank you for this day. We realize we're on special assignment, that you have given us a divine destiny, Father God. We pray, Father God, we're not looking for our name in lights, Father God. We're not looking to be stars. We're looking to help the hurting and broken because you helped us. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.